What if Jesus was not just Lord of your Sunday, but Lord of your inbox, your job site, your commute, and your county council? In this Washington Defender devotional, we're going to walk through Romans and Philippians to show that Christ's death and resurrection claim every square inch of your ordinary life. From our work and our politics to how we build roads and run businesses, you'll be challenged to surrender every off-limits area to Jesus and to pray boldly for leaders, workplaces, and all 39 counties of Washington to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. If you've ever treated parts of your life as my zone, this message will lovingly confront that and invite you into a fully surrendered life. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, we are in our series, Absolutes and Principles of Conscience. I hope you've been enjoying this series. I got to be honest, I've said this several times during the series. I don't know that these are scriptures that I would naturally cover had I not been going verse by verse, line by line, word by word through the book of Romans. I think right now in our culture, there's a lot of people who think, well, that's not my conscience, so I don't have to live that. And that is why we're looking at, no, there are absolutes in the scripture, and there are days, parts that simply just, it's a principle of conscience. So we're going to look at that. All right, we are in verse 9, but we're going to read verses 7, 8, and 9. But before I do that, if you're enjoying this series on absolutes and principles of conscience, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It really does help us accomplish our goal, which is to change the heart so that we change the public square. And that is done by preaching the gospel in every nook, cranny, corner, county, legislative district, whatever it might be, all across Washington state. So want to encourage you to continue with your financial monthly support. It really does help us to lay that foundation. All righty, let's read verse 7, 8, and 9 today. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Now, here's our verse. For to this end, to what end? Living or dying? For to this end, Christ died and lived again. Okay, his death, burial, resurrection, and appearance. Gospel message, 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. This right here is such a foundational verse for FPIW and FPIW Action. You're like, well, why? This verse right here talks about the lordship of Jesus Christ over all. You got to look at it carefully. I'm going to substitute a couple words. For to this end, Christ died. Okay, so the death and burial right there, and lived, substitutionary, he resurrected and appeared again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. Isn't that beautiful? And so God is saying through his son, Jesus Christ, his gospel message, the good news of Jesus, which was foreseen by God. So he preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, it says in Galatians chapter 2. So think about this. God foresaw that he would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham. And when he said, all the seeds of the earth will be blessed because of you. So think through this message. It is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he wants to be Lord over all. So Jesus died and rose so that every part of the believer's life would come under his lordship. Are there ordinary parts of your life you still treat as outside of Christ's rule? That is our question for today. You know, as you go into work today, is there a certain area that you're saying, well, I don't know if Christ rules over that area of my life. That's my work life. That's my home life. That's my entertainment life. That's my whatever it might be. No, you have one life and Christ died for it and rose again that you may have eternal life. So let's look at a couple other scriptures, our absolute truth today. Before the fall in Genesis chapter 2, let's go over there, Genesis chapter 2. It talks about in verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to do two things, cultivate and keep it. So Jesus Christ wants to be Lord over our work life. That's one of the areas. And what are we supposed to do? Any area that the foot, your foot treads or goes to, you are to cultivate and keep that part for the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is powerful. And the so cultivating and keeping. So whether it's your employees that you have, whether it's a business that you have, whether it's your employer and you're serving in that type of capacity, to cultivate and keep is incredibly important. And to bring that cultivating and keeping under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to say, Lord, you are in charge of that. So I proclaim at over FPIW, Lord, you are in charge of FPIW. It's under your Lordship that we are trying to see our state walk in righteousness, walk in holiness, walk in the peace that only comes through Jesus Christ. You are Lord over FPIW and FPIW action. Maybe it's your business. Maybe it's your nonprofit, and you need to say the same thing. God is Lord over that. This includes every aspect of our lives. Christ's resurrection establishes his lordship over the living and the dead. Gray areas are not exempt from Christ's authority. So even our principles of conscience, we need to understand, are not exempt from what Christ may direct you to do. There could be ordinary life matters because ordinary life belongs to the Lord, and this is important. We need to understand that our everyday life, when you go to the grocery store, it's under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When you walk into your workplace, it's under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is not just, well, I get to be my own boss here. This is my own territory, my own zone. No, it's under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine what would change in our state if we all looked at our hearts and said, how do I surrender to this area to Jesus? I'm an elected official and I'm going to make policy. How do I surrender this area to Jesus Christ? I'm a sheriff and I'm going to bring safety, public safety, and all the things that I do, punish evil. How am I going to bring this under the Lordship of Jesus Christ? I'm building the roads across Washington State. How am I going to build these roads for the glory of God and under the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Do you see what I'm saying? We would have so much less corruption if every individual and believer brought their lives under Christ's Lordship and said, it's yours, God. It is yours. Rule and reign over us. Have your way over us, God. We want it to be yours. We want to glorify you in this area. Okay, one more scripture we want to look at today, and that comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 2. It says, for this reason also, God highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I look forward to that day where every knee will bow before God. For the Christian, it will be at the Bema seat of Christ, and we have our inheritance that will be given to us, the final refinement of the Holy Spirit through us, and our sanctification will be complete. For the unbeliever, it unfortunately will be a day of judgment, the great white throne judgment, and they're going to acknowledge that he is Lord, but it won't be a salvation judgment. It'll be a judgment for their soul. And so that's a hard thing to think about, because I'd rather someone confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior on this side of heaven so they don't have to experience God's holy discipline upon them. I really hope that that happens. So how might a person be saved? The Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Repent of your sins, turn to the living God, walk away from evil, wickedness, unrighteousness, and begin to do the deeds that God has called you to. Salvation's by faith through grace in Jesus Christ. So turn to him and allow him to restore you, renew you, and resurrect the dead body into a new self inside of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, we do pray that you would go before us today, understanding that you want to be Lord over all of our life, not just Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 10:30 or whatever time we attend church, but Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, Monday through Sunday, God, every single day you want to be Lord of our life. So God, we just give it over to you to so that we can cultivate and keep what you have entrusted to us. Let us live for your glory, oh God. We pray across all 39 counties, 49 legislative districts. We pray that your glory would shine on these places, that our hearts would run towards righteousness and not towards evilness. God, that we would sense and know the calling of the living God upon our hearts. We speak to those areas, God, that sense your presence, God, those leaders, those in authority over us, we begin to proclaim, God, that you want to do something amazing through them as they surrender to you, as they bow their knee before you and say, you know what? I'm not the ultimate authority. Jesus Christ is. So Lord, we pray for the salvation of our elected officials, our sheriffs, all those around us, God, our school board members, just anyone that is in a place of authority, we pray for salvation. We pray for salvation over our pastors, God. Any pastor that does not know you, that is only involved in religion, I pray today that they may know you as their personal savior, that they would move out of religion and they would begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit as brand new creations, God. And so we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard